Hello, and welcome to Check It Out, Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two indie games and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Lauber.
I'm Gary Butterfield.
And I'm Brayden Sweet Pea Kim.
Hey, Braby.
And Braby. B-Diddy. This week we're doing LG for a Dead World and The Marvelous Mistake. And as you can tell, we're joined by Brayden Cameron, who is on Duckfeed TV show known as...
Teenage Dirtbags.
Yeah. I forgot. I actually forgot for a second. I was going to just say Dirtbags, and then I was like, wait, there's more to it than that.
That would just be mean.
Yeah, yeah. Dirtbag. And also formerly of The Pitch, which was also a fantastic show, both of which are super funny and really good, and you guys should listen to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost like we're a real network, and you're doing like the guest circuit.
I know.
Yeah. Like, Brayden, like you're on the live stream, and you're on this. It's like just getting, like, we're hyping.
Yeah, we got a new show. You got to have the guest come on to talk about it. And
yeah.
No, we just wanted you to come on to talk about games with us, Brayden.
And this is the full Portland crew of Duckfeed.
Is it? Is all three of us?
Yeah, and we're all recording in different rooms because we're lazy. through the miracle of technology, we don't actually have to, like, you know, get dressed and go out to do this.
Right.
Which is good because I don't want to get
wings later though.
Maybe we're gonna do that on Tuesday, Brayden.
Oh, okay.
We're gonna watch some speedruns and watch some wings.
Both days.
Okay.
I will more or less eat wings like every day of the week, but I have a lot of Rock Band to play tonight.
Okay.
For a watch out for fireballs. So.
Okay, so let's talk about some games, guys.
Yeah, and these it should be noted that Brayden picked these.
Yes, he did.
So we had a guest on. We'll do this again in the future at some point. We'll have a guest on who just picks a game, you know, picks games for us.
Yeah.
Cole was on last episode, and he wanted us to play This War of Mine, and then we wanted to have kind of continue our guest streak and ask Brayden for suggestions for stuff to play.
Yeah, and Jenny was like, as soon as you guys do Rebirth, you better make sure I'm
on.
So
yeah, so we're into being influenced by people. So Brayden, tell me about why you chose these games or how you came across these and such.
Well, LG for the Lost World, we knew we were going to do this episode, so I started looking through my list of games that I kind of was considering, and then some games that were recommended on Steam, and just kind of going through and thinking, like, oh, what about this? What about that? And LG for the Lost Dead World, seemed the most unique, like, as far as gameplay experiences go. It was visually, it was very striking, which I was excited about. The gameplay seemed to be something that I hadn't done before, so I was like, oh, this would be fun to play and actually have an intelligent conversation about. And then for Marvelous Mistake, I love stealth games to begin with, which is Mistake is, but this was a stealth game where you couldn't be violent. It also had a really kind of cartoony, fun aesthetic that I wanted to check out, and luckily it also had really great music. So that's how I kind of picked those two.
Yeah.
Elegy for a Lost World is Jurassic Park 4. that's an entirely different game. Yeah. It's in the Unity engine. It's on green light right now.
I believe it.
Yeah.
All right. So let's jump into LG. I'll give the details real quick. It was released on December 10th, 2014. It is by Dejabond Games, known for Reckless Regard for Gravity and other such games. And they collaborated with Pop Cannibal Games, who I don't know. But it is a side-scrolling exploration game, as Wikipedia describes it, that is primary emphasis is on writing, where you explore these worlds and write about what you see. And there's some of them are just kind of free writing, but most of the time it's kind of a Mad Libs almost fill-in-the-blanks method of developing a story around the world you are exploring.
Nick, these worlds, would you consider them lost worlds or
dead worlds?
You know, they're a little bit of both, you know. They were lost, but now they are discovered.
Well, the thing is they're based on the poets of our you know, this and other generations. So two of them, the worlds of Shelley and Byron, I would say are dead worlds, but the world of Spielberg is actually a lost world. the third planet that they explore.
The great American poet. Spielberg.
Yeah, and actually that's Keats. They are based on British romantic poets.
I didn't know that.
the poetry that you're kind of working with are poems, kind of famous poems by these three, the heavyweights of poetry, the monsters of monologue.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you guys think of this?
You know, I think it's a really interesting idea. As someone who isn't, like, you know, big into writing, I know, you know, Gary, obviously you do a lot more writing than I do, but like, it's still not grabbing in a way that I think it could be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like that they really touched on something, and like, I like the worlds, I like exploring them, and I think that exploring the theme of writing in a video game around that is a really cool idea, but in a couple ways I think it's fallen pretty short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that if they had added in like something of a narrative to say that your character is some sort of like space archaeologist or what have you, like whatever that would be, that would at least give you kind of a purpose other than just kind of like level select. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's what it is. Like, I don't go in for, I don't truck with, just as like a spoiler, like I don't like this game. I don't truck with like the, this isn't a game thing. Like, I don't know I don't go for that. What this is, though, is that these are just, like, I could see this being feeling really innovative and awesome to somebody who has never taken, like, a writing class.
Right.
Because that's what this is. It's like, you, all of these things are writing prompts and writing exercises that you do in a writing class or that people do in their own workshops and stuff. Which is cool to see kind of a graphical overlay of that. Mm-hmm. But it's just not, there's not that much to it. Like, it's just like, here are some images and you're going to use these as a writing prompt, or here are some famous works and you're going to erase things or change words for them. Those are both established writing things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That you can do without the benefit of a game, and that people in classrooms and in coffee shops do all around the world right now.
Right. But I mean, you know? I mean, they are cool. They are cool images, and it is nice poetry that you're modifying.
Yeah.
But I don't even think, like, I don't think it needs to be more gamey. I don't think it needs to be, I don't know. It doesn't need to be more goal-oriented, but there needs to be something more grabbing to it than just writing prompts in order for it to really grab my attention as someone who doesn't regularly do something like this.
Yeah, I can't see this appealing to anybody who isn't, you know, necessarily a writer. And I don't necessarily want it to be more gamified. I'm just saying, like, it is what it is. Like, it is a vehicle, like a graphical overlay for a message board for writing prompts.
Right. You know what? I think even at that, sorry to interrupt Raven, but I think even at that, it's failed a little bit too. Like, they developed this whole thing around creating ideas and sharing them and kind of like upvote rankings of them through Steam. But you're still limited to the prompts in there and the few worlds. Like, I kind of would have liked to see this almost as a more generalized platform for maybe like artists to share levels in and like create cool levels for, and then people can download those levels, check them out, and make their own writings around those, and then you share kind of both. Like, I think it kind of falls short even of what it's trying to do.
Yeah, I think adding that feature would be really really amazing, because then you'd be able to go into something and take a look at the visuals and actually become inspired, as opposed to just kind of like, and I know the idea with writing prompts and whatnot is to just kind of force yourself to write, as opposed to wait for your muse to magically show up. But still, it would have been nice to go about that way and to see other people's art as well.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Brayden, you talked about this a little bit on the live stream too. Some of the issues that you had.
Yeah, I feel differently than you do regarding the gamification of it. I feel like it's right in an in-between state for me of whether or not it is a game or whether or not it is just a writing program where you would kind of, the fact that it's just like press write until you get to the little feather and then write something. And there's no real difference to that. I mean, occasionally you go into a building, but that's almost the same to me as just like write in this prompt and then press enter and I'll show you another picture and then give you another prompt. Like, it feels the same to me. And that that's something that really bugged me, is that it's not doing enough to engage me in the game element, but it's also adding complications to a writing prompt program that I wouldn't want.
I can do an exploration game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I love Gone Home. Like Proteus is a really great game. Mm-hmm. I've never played that. Like, I think that's really fun.
Like the Niflos games, like Within a Deep Forest and the Knit series.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I like that. Like, I like the idea of, and something about that, even like, I think you're right. Like, there is a conflict in like a task and exploration, because in Gone Home, in that exploration game and other exploration games, like, you are unveiling a narrative, and that's the point. And then in something like Proteus, there's no narrative, but the point is to kind of relax and move at your own pace. Mm-hmm. Having the kind of such like a established interactive element of these writing prompts, like, does feel conflicting to me. Like, it does feel like I think you put it really well, like, it does feel like unnecessary complication to something that already exists, as opposed to being like two elements that work really well together.
Yeah.
Like, I resented my slow movement speed and having to go from door to door.
Right.
And image to image, rather than being like feeling like it was either telling me a narrative or like gave me a pleasant feeling of relaxation or exploration.
Yeah, and I think the ambient music is a little like too few and far between, if that's the right way to say it. Like, it's just not enough. And that the certain cues always happen at certain spots kind of bothers me, because like, if you're trying to write a story that's different, but you keep getting this kind of music as an emotion coming in and clouding you at the exact same spot. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not going to say that I didn't have a little bit of fun playing it, because I did go into, I don't know which one it was. It was the bottom left world. I don't know if the worlds are different.
Yeah, they're
the bottom left world.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, okay. No, I mean different for each person.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, I don't think so.
It's the same three, and they're always the same three poets' works.
Okay, so I went to the bottom left world, and then one of the prompts is like, if you're an emperor, like writing a letter to your people, and I wrote this super passive-aggressive letter about mistakes were made, and it was like, it was really fun. Like, I had a pretty good time like coming up with that, but by the end of it, I was just kind of like, okay, well, I finished that. Like, now what do I do?
Yeah, and it's like, I could have easily done that without the platforming elements. Like, you could have just shown me the series of like it could just be a writing prompt about pictures. Like, that's done all over the place, like Gary said, constantly. Mm. Adding gamey platform elements to that doesn't add anything.
I want to make sure that everyone understands that I don't think that's something that can never be done. Like, you can take something that's just a form of artistic expression, add some platforming to it, and it can be additive, as per those other games that, you know, I mentioned. And that's additive. I just don't think this is additive.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't think that this benefits from being, it is a game. I'm not going to say like something isn't a game. Like, there are elements where you can kind of like look at other people's things and rank them, and you can gamify it if you want to with yourself and do emergent gameplay by like having competitions or having like, hey, let's both do this thing and compare how it went. Like, I'll call that a game, because like, that's a super subjective term. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't benefit from being a game, is what I'll say. Like, it is, but it doesn't help.
And I'm kind of mad, because I know there's going to be a lot of people out there who are going to say that this is pretentious indie non-game bullshit, and I want to, like, I hate all those people and I want to rip their throats out. But it's like, because I wish this was done better, so I could be like, no, this is really good and it does all this really interesting stuff. It does something slightly interesting and then does everything about it not well enough to like want me to fight for it.
Yeah. Well, it's new. Maybe they'll add some more planets or something in the future. We can only hope.
Or at the very least, like, this is an artifact from like a really exploratory time in the development of games as a medium.
Yeah.
Where like people are just kind of trying shit. And that's to be encouraged no matter what.
For sure.
Even if it is end up being a failure. Like, throwing game into something is always worth trying to see if it works. And there have been like amazing results in the past. And I don't think this is one of them.
Yeah, yep. I've been doing that with this recording, right?
Yeah.
He's got an Xbox controller in his hand. That's the only difference.
You just tap X when E is used.
Yeah. I have to keep walking to the right until one of you stops talking so that I can talk.
So that's LOD for A Dead World, a game that, like, looking at the concept, I really thought I was going to like.
Me too.
I'm going to throw in a real minor gripe too, and I want to put an asterisk, like the biggest asterisk in the world, that this is like the tiniest thing. The janky animations of the Unity, like when you're jetpacking around, broke some immersion for me. Like, I was always jetpacking everywhere because it was the fastest way to move because I'm sick of walking, and it looks really cheap the way you jetpack around. Like, the backgrounds look really good. The animation looks like garbage.
The backgrounds are gorgeous in this game.
Absolutely.
It's a real shame that...
it just clanged with the way my avatar moved. Like, I almost would have... I wonder, like, if I would have liked this more in first person? Like, it would have been... Like, you wouldn't... The backgrounds would have been different, but maybe that would have been more immersive as far as an exploration feel. Like, imagine, so this is the Monday morning quarterback segment of the show, which, like, I don't like to do, but, like, I can think of a game based on this concept where, like, instead of it being multiple planets, you have a planet, and it's like an MMO, like, you exist there with everyone, right? Mm-hmm. Except it's like Dark Souls MMO, like, you don't actually interact with them. You just find structures and buildings and stuff like that that have images. You can write something, and when you get to one of those, you see the writings that other people have done automatically. And it's just an exploring a planet in the first person, coming across these like artifacts from civilization and what other explorers have seen.
Sure.
When they've gone there. Like, that's kind of what this seemed like it was going to be, but I just feel like there's a kind of a better way to do that would have felt more, you know, a little bit more like lonely and resonant.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to see this idea more solidified. Yeah. I do like the idea of like, I fucking love like derelict planets and ships, like exploring remnants of civilizations and stuff. That's a fucking amazing concept in every piece I've ever seen it used. So I'd like to see that done in a format where telling a story is the goal.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a really good idea. It's just not done well here.
Yeah.
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 All right, let's move on.
Let's move on. Okay, so our second game that we're going to be talking about today is The Marvelous Mistake, which came out November 20th, 2014. And it is a overhead 3D stealth game. But as Brayton said earlier, it's a completely nonviolent stealth game about a woman taking back her mother's aunt's. I forget what
her
it was.
Aunt.
Aunt, yeah, her aunt's art pieces, which have been stolen since she passed away. So you're revenging for your past aunt. So
yeah, and developed by Wonderstruck.
Oh yeah, yeah. Wait, have they done anything else? I don't think I've heard of them before.
I don't think so. Yeah. Brayton, tell us what is cool about The Marvelous Mistake.
Okay. Well. I would tell you my favorite thing, but it won't make any sense without any context. You know what? I'll tell you right now. You get to the level setup screen is the inside of your house, which you are now filling with the art that you've stolen. And one of my favorite things is that when you click on a level that you want to go to, it doesn't make you wait until your character runs all the way over there to enter the level. And it's just such a nice little time saver that I was like, this is amazing! Like, I was so grateful for it. But the premise of the game, of course, as you know, is going through all these different, like, challenge levels, basically, these kind of small enclosed buildings where you are stealing art back and avoiding guards. But then there's three different characters. I think there's only three, right?
I only got two, so...
Oh, okay. There's three different characters, and they each have kind of like their own challenge elements to it. Miss Take herself has like a speed. The old man has to ghost, and then the young girl is also speed. But they do different things. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That was a good thing. I really like this game too. I like There's a couple things about it that I think it does interesting. I'm not sure if it's well yet. Like, I need to play more to decide if these mechanics are actually a good thing or not. But one cool thing about it is that as opposed to most other stealth games, it's not based on like watching guard patterns. Mm-hmm. The guards move around randomly. There's no route for you to kind of hide in the corners until you've found the perfect spot in their routes where you can get to the next area. Instead, you have to make use of tactics and tools to distract and get them to move in the way you want to, so that you can get to what you're trying to get to in the level. And I think that's done pretty well in this game.
It's very active stealth, which is not something that happens a lot and has specifically been really out of style, I feel like, recently.
Yeah.
Like if you look at like old Thief games, like you have like all these noisemaker arrows and arrows that like put out torches and arrows that soften your steps and stuff. Like you are more active. And then at some point, stealth games kind of became like a just pattern recognition and patience simulators. And this is very active, and I feel like it's designed with that in mind, like as a reaction to a lot of stealth games.
Yeah, you have more of that when you're using the dude who's, I'm very sorry that I can't remember his last name, Renard, I think, because it's a Fox reference. But because he moves slower and doesn't get like any gear, and everything takes place at night, it feels more like you're specifically trying to go with the old school sneaky route.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It kind of does all the things, it kind of covers both bases depending on the play style. Mm-hmm. I think like this game, like as much as I respect this a lot, it's not for me. Like it is, like I like it. I think that it's a good game.
Yeah.
But like for me, for stealth games, like, and I've said this before on Watch Out for Fireballs, like I can judge a stealth game based on how fun it is to get caught. You know, like I don't like, and the penalty for this game for getting caught is not instant level over, but it's very close to that. It's very easy to get caught and get a level over pretty much right away.
Right.
Yeah.
And I just get frustrated with that. Like I just don't like starting over from a level, doing the parts that I know. Like it's got that iOS like keep doing it to get 3 stars kind of setup to it. That I don't really like. I just want to get through a thing. I don't want to try to do it perfectly usually.
Right.
And that's just me. That's subjective. It's not objectively better to do that. That's just like how I like to play games. And for that, for me, for this, like that kind of frustrated me. Like I didn't like how like I would make my way through a thing, get 90% through it, and then get caught, and then just do the same thing over and over and over again. Like getting to a trial and error point that is 80% the way through the level. You know,
right?
And then just having you that first 80% over and over and over.
Well, like, and the fact that it isn't a pattern recognition based stealth game means that what you did the first time isn't going to work the next time. So you can't just like rush through like, oh, I already know all this part of the level to get to that 80% portion again. I now have to, you know, I make use of the same tools and stuff, but I need to. I can't just like flow through knowing the timings of all the guards now because I've already done it.
Yeah, it's like different enough to be frustrating for me, but not different enough to feel like a totally new level.
Yeah.
Especially since every level kind of features like some gimmies. Mm-hmm. Like every level is like, oh, here are 3 or 4 pieces of art that are not well guarded. You just have to go grab. And it becomes like a grocery list when you're doing the level for the third time. Like it's like, okay, every time I start this, I have to go grab these guys. Mm-hmm. You know, and it just like just got frustrating to me. Like it's just not like, again, like I think I like stealth games a lot too. Just kind of different ones. And I appreciate how nonviolent it is. Like, I think that's great.
Yeah.
You know, because like my temptation in stealth games is always to kill everyone and explore at my leisure, which is not a stealth game. Like that's just what it ends up turning into for me, which is not great. So I like that about it. I kind of wish that there was a little bit more vocabulary to getting caught, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe that would have addressed my issue with it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, stealth games are not for me. I do really respect this game. And there's other stealth games I've enjoyed, but I think as far as what this game's trying to do, I like it a lot for what it's done. And especially like there's a lot to like about it in not just gameplay aspects. I really like the art style and the music. I like that it's nonviolent and it has features a not at all sexualized female protagonist.
Two.
Yeah. Yeah. I love all those things too. Like aesthetically, like I think this game is really gorgeous and cool and laudable. Like I agree with all of that. It's designed really well.
Yeah.
Aesthetically.
Yeah, I like the 3 different play styles that you get, you know, when you're playing as Mystic, Renard, or the kid. Who's, again, sorry, I forgot the kid's name.
It's okay.
it's really, I thought it was pretty fun, but it was something that would get me super frustrated. I could only play in short bursts.
Yeah.
Because those dogs are assholes.
Those dogs are jerks from hell.
Yeah, that got very frustrating to me as well. A lot of the interface things of this really reminded me of a touchscreen game.
Yeah.
And it would work as such, and I was surprised to find out that it wasn't. Like, I couldn't get this on my phone, because, like, you could very easily do it for phone. It has that 1-star, 2-star, 3-star phone structure.
Yeah.
Like, it play, and I'm not saying that dismissive. Some people are like, this is obviously ported for iOS. Like, it's garbage. I don't think that's true at all. Like, I love iOS games, but, like, I was kind of surprised that this is, you know, as far as I know, just PC exclusive, at least for now.
Yeah.
Did you guys play with a controller or with your keyboard and mouse?
All mouse, yeah.
Yeah, mouse.
Yeah, I found it very difficult to go between running and walking sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I would just start running sometimes when I didn't want to.
Yeah.
Because I would hold down the mouse button because I'm a big dummy. So, like, I can't imagine how well that would work. I guess it could work if you're just holding it down.
You suffer from heavy fing.
Yeah, you just got heavy fing. Yeah.
I just want to jam my fing.
Yeah, you've jammed it too many times, and now it's got super musk, and it's got heavy fing.
Yeah, I definitely agree with the thought that this is probably, if not already in the works, will eventually be a tablet game or phone game.
I think it would work really well for that too. Like, if I'm on the bus and I just want to take a couple tries at a level, like it would work a little bit better than, like, I'm gonna sit down and play this for a while and then just kind of banging my head up against the same thing over and over, like making really incremental progress.
Yeah, because right. Most of the levels when you're playing as Ms. Take or as the kid, you're done with them in 3-4 minutes. I mean, that's the total amount of time for the level, but, like, you're spending 20 minutes trying to get through it.
Restarting, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just doesn't have that, like, for me, that replay value wasn't for me. So, like, I could see, like, this, you know, people who are into stealth games in a different way than I am, you know, like, I think that, like, that patience aspect of, like, stealth, I really like.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, there is a satisfying part of stealth to me. Like, I like ghosting a thing. Like, I'll play, like, Deadly Shadows or something and ghost, like, the earlier levels before it gets impossible and annoying. Yeah. So I like that too, but I also, like, there's the violent part of stealth games I do kind of like. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not ultra violence dude or anything, but, like, that kind of stalking a prey kind of feeling is fun for me in games. Like, you do it in Arkham Asylum, or you do it in like Deus Ex.
Right.
In Human Revolution. Yeah, like, I dig that too.
I mean, like, Mark of the Ninja, I recently started playing, and it's really kind of fun to not kill anybody if you can
try. Yeah. Mark of the Ninja is great. Like, I was going to suggest that to you if you hadn't played it based on you liking stealth games and liking this. Like, I like Mark of the Ninja a little bit better than I like this.
Oh, yeah. I think Mark of the Ninja is probably a better game than this in general.
I do too, but there's just, like, some levels in Mark of the Ninja, much like this, that are just like, this is freaking impossible. Like, what do you want from me?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, and part of it's probably, like, a little bit of just speaking to, like, where I'm at in my relationship with games, or, like, my relationship to being frustrated, you know, is weaker than ever. Like, I have less patience than I did when I was younger, is what I was trying to say with that long, dumb sentence. I'm just, like, slightly less patient than I used to be. So, like, my frustration tolerance is low, which I ran into with the Marvelous Mistake. Which, again, like, I think it's neat. It's amazing for, like, a first release.
Yeah.
From this developer. Like, I want to see what they do next. I guess they've got a game called Urt Online.
Yeah, it looks like it's an MMO, which is not going to be up any of our alleys. So
yeah, it's like a Minecraft MMO. Yeah, weird. I don't know. It's really, really respectable, really, really cool.
Yeah,
but not for me, I think.
Yeah, likewise. I agree with all those things.
Yeah,
I'll probably keep.
Yeah, cool. I'd be curious to see if like the story kind of takes a turn, because, like, the way it's doing the story kind of reminds me a little bit of Gunpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Have you played Gunpoint, Brayden?
Yeah, Gunpoint's great.
I think you're like Gunpoint a lot too, if you like for stealth games, and that is something where you can be violent, but you're encouraged to be nonviolent and can definitely get through without doing it.
But there's also, like, that weird story choice element of, like, you know, the problem with doing clandestine operations is that you end up, like, doing them against yourself, basically.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So I think that's all we've got for Marvelous Mistake and LG for a Dead World.
I feel like this. I picked two bad games, and this is like a black mark on my folder that are going to be like, "Will no. we'll never invite Brayden back because he just plays terrible games."
You picked two interesting games that you know, they're like Gary said, it's in this this time where people are trying things with games, and some of it sticks and some of it doesn't. That's cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of trying things with games, I just saw this game on Steam called Roundabout. Have you guys heard of that?
No. Is it like a Yes tribute?
No,
it's just a Scutari one level.
it's like a full motion video game, but I mean, it tells a full motion video story, but you play these levels as a limousine that spins in circles.
What?
Huh?
Yeah, I know. What I just told you sounds like the worst and most amazing thing ever.
I will look this up. Yeah, I'll look this up as soon as we're done here.
Yeah, interesting is better than good. A lot of the times when it comes to games for a podcast, like you do not have a black mark. I resent neither you nor the time I spent with these games.
Okay. Yeah, there's definitely
you can commit no crimes in my eyes, Brayden.
There's been episodes where we covered two like pretty decently good games that did nothing interesting, and so the episode was 15 minutes long.
Like, yeah, I was like, this is pretty good. And then it's good. Oh, the platforming was tight. The traversal mechanics were solid. Graphics were a 9 out of 10.
I give the story 6.5.
Maybe. 6 out of 10, but who cares? I skipped the cutscenes because I just want to shoot.
Yep. 9 out of 10. It's all right.
9 out of 10. Yeah, 9 out of 10. It's decent. These are interesting games.
Good.
And it's also fun to have something inflicted on us too. Like, I like that idea too. Like, hey, play these games. That's fun.
Which we're gonna do a game like that. Listener suggested game that was put upon us next week or episode. So
next episode in a couple weeks. So thank you again, Brayden.
Yeah, thanks, Brayden.
Well, thank you for having me on. It was a delight.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to pitch besides Teenage Dirtbags? You got a Twitter handle or something you want to tell people about?
I do have a Twitter that I rarely ever use. It's BraytonJC. You can read me talk about how much I'm drinking. That's usually what I do there.
And the JC stands for Jesus Christ, right?
Right. Let's get to some admin stuff real quick for the show. You can catch us on Facebook at facebook.com/checkitoutcomrade, on Twitter at Comrade Podcast, and on duckfeed.tv/comrade. And you can give us suggestions for games you'd like us to play on any of those. Duckfeed.tv/contact has a form you could fill out and send us some stuff if you'd like. We have a Patreon running right now, and that you can find on patreon.com/duckfeedtv. And ratings and reviews on iTunes are always really appreciated.
Yeah, and you should definitely check out Teenage Dirtbags, and check out old episodes of The Pitch.
Yes.
Because they are great.
The Pitch is brilliant. Check out
reruns of the live shows that I've done.
Yeah, well, one of them's not out yet for everyone. Like, if they were there, they saw it, but it doesn't come out on the audio stream for a month.
Go find the YouTube version of Duckstream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
watch all three of us play games and eat wings.
You can watch Gary and I shave each other's faces.
Yeah. So if you listening to us talk about The Marvelous Mistake and Elegy for a Dead World made you think, what would it be like to listen to those two guys shave each other while the other guy watched? Then I have a video for you. So, but thanks everybody, and good night.
Yep, thanks. Bye.